Chapter number 2, if you'll turn with us in verse number 21, if you're able to stand, we want to read one verse of scripture and then bring the message that God has laid upon our heart. Acts chapter number 2, and notice with us in verse number 21. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Father, I pray this morning in Jesus' name, as we've already heard it sung and it's already been testified and spoken of this morning in Sunday school, Lord, we know that you're willing to save anyone that will come by way of the cross and trust the blood of Jesus Christ to save them from their sins. Lord, I don't know in this building who is saved and who is lost, but I pray you would encourage the saved, and I pray you'd evangelize the lost this morning, and may thy will be done, and we'll love you, and we'll thank you for it, for we ask it in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want you to think about the verse that's before us this morning. It is one that as Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, he is saying a lot of things. In fact, he has just finished quoting from the prophet Joel here in verse number 29, but or verse number 20. But when we come to verse number 21, this is a verse that seems to get our attention, and it is a verse that we're familiar with if we go to Romans chapter number 10. What I would say about this verse this morning is that it is a simple verse, meaning that anyone that reads the verse that I've read this morning, I think you can comprehend and you can understand what Peter is preaching and what he is saying about when he says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's just a simple verse this morning. And then I would say it is a systematic verse, because it's not just mentioned here in Acts chapter number 2, but as I've already said, it's been mentioned in Romans chapter number 10, as the Bible said in verse number 9, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Amen. And then in verse number 13 it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So God didn't just say this once, but he said it twice and many other times again. It is a systematic verse. It is a salvation verse this morning. You realize this morning we could take this one verse of scripture that I'm preaching from this morning, and anyone that will put their faith and their trust in the message of this verse, thank God they can be saved. Amen. You see, sinner, you don't have to know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation to get born again. You don't have to have a lot of deep theology this morning to get born again. You don't have to be a churchgoer to get born again. You say, "What I got to do to be born again?" Well, the Bible says, "And it shall come to pass, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's what you got to do to be born again. It is a salvation verse, and then it is a soul winning verse this morning. I'm glad, thank God, you can take this verse out here in the streets. You can take it to the highways. You can take it to the hedges. You can take it to the right side or the wrong side of the tracks. You can take it to the bond and the free. You can take it to the educated, the uneducated. You can take it to the young, and you can take it to the old. And you can tell, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved." This morning, it's a soul winner's verse. Amen. And sinner, it'll win your soul this morning. And I want us to look at this one verse of scripture this morning, and I want us to emphasize the simplicity of this subject, because I'm preaching on the subject this morning: salvation for all. Amen. Salvation for all. That is what this verse tells us, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, God doesn't want anybody in this building this morning to die and go to hell. He doesn't care what you've done. He doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care where you've been. He sent his son to die on the cross for your sins. And if you were to the place that God was not willing to save you, then he would have never let you be born into this world. But God let you be born. He let you be born in America. He's let you hear the gospel this morning. He gave his son to die on the cross for your sins. Why? Because he wants to save you, because salvation is for all this morning. Amen. Now think about this when we look at this verse. Notice with me the proof in this verse. The Bible says in verse 21, "And it shall come to pass." There is proof in this verse that what it says is true. You say, what do you mean? Well, the Bible says Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, and he says, and it shall come to pass. Now, Christ went to the cross. He has died at Calvary. He's been placed in a borrowed tomb. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Thank God that's the death, that's the burial, that's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. Amen. And so Christ has risen from the dead. He has met with those disciples on the Mount of Olives. He has ascended back into the heavens. He has told them to wait for the promise that would come. Amen. They go in the upper room and they pray. And the Bible said, like a mighty rushing wind, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost filled their hearts and filled the room. And Peter, the Bible said, being ignorant and unlearned, but he had been with Jesus, he stands and he preaches the gospel on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 souls get saved. Do you realize what he said in verse 21? It's not only come to pass still today, but it came to pass on that day when Peter preached the gospel, 3,000 put their trust in Jesus Christ, and they got born again. There's the proof in this verse. Amen. You say, preacher, would God really save me? Well, he saved others. He saved people before you. Look around this morning. If you're saved, raise your hand. If you know you're saved, look around this morning, sinner. There's the proof. This verse worked for them, and thank God this verse will work for you. The proof in this verse is the fact that it's in the scriptures. Amen. You see, if it wasn't true, and if it couldn't be proved, then God wouldn't have put it in the Bible. Amen. But God put it here. He put it in Romans chapter 10. Why? Because he wanted to prove to you and I that if you'll put your faith and trust in him, he'll save you just like he has saved others. Amen. Amen. It shall come to pass. And we can stand here this morning and say it has come to pass. You see, I'm not going to be saved. I am saved. If you're saved this morning, you're not going to. I'm going to be changed one of these days. I'll tell you, you're as saved right now as you ever will be in eternity. If you've been born again, thank God you got new life living on the inside. 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm telling you, our salvation, the proof of it is that it's in the Bible. I'm not telling you something I thought up. I'm not telling you something that we organized. It's not what the church says. It's not what the man of God says. It's what the Bible says this morning. If you'll trust the Bible, if you'll put your faith in the scriptures, how do we know it will come to pass? Because everything that God ever said either has come to pass, it is coming to pass, or we know that one day it will come to pass. Amen. When God stepped out on nothing in Genesis 1, everything God said came to pass exactly the way God said it. When God said, let there be light, there was light. When God clothed the grass of the field, when he spoke it into existence, it came to pass. I'm telling you, God has a perfect record of everything he ever says. It not only happens, but it happens exactly when God says it will happen and exactly the way God says it will happen. I'm telling you this morning, I trust the word of God, the proof in the scriptures, the proof in the sinner. You know, if you're lost this morning, you can look at somebody that was lost, that got found, that got saved, and you can see the difference that God has made in their life. You can see the difference that salvation has made in their life, and that's proof that it came to pass in their life. I think about people that I knew growing up that were lost, but they got saved, and the change that took place in their life, and that the sin that they could not let go of, but one time to the altar, one trip, and putting their faith in Christ, and they are forever changed. Hallelujah. There's proof in the scriptures. There is proof in the sinner. There's proof in the saints this morning. We that are saved, we can testify that Jesus makes the difference. Amen. We can testify that we've been saved by the grace of God. And you may be here and been raised in church all of your life. And listen, you grew up in Sunday school, and you grew up under the shadow of the cross, and you never got out there in the wiles of this world and the wickedness of the devil. But you know as well as I do that you were lost, and you had no peace on the inside. But when you met Jesus, thank God, there's a deep settled peace. And the proof, where is it? It's not in your works. It's in your heart. It's the peace that flows like a river on the inside. Hallelujah. It's not the works of the flesh.
Thank God it's the fruit of the Spirit that proves that you've been born again. The proof is in the saints. It's in them. The proof is in the Savior. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can't get to heaven by good works. Amen. You can't get to heaven by water baptism. You can't get to heaven by putting money in the offering plate. You can't get to heaven by being a good person. Amen. I tell you how you get to heaven. You have to trust Christ and what he did on the cross. You have to bow your head and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be your Savior. I'm telling you, if you'll repent and trust Christ, he'll save you this morning. To prove is in the Savior. How do you know that you're saved, preacher? Because I trust what Jesus said. He said, he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise. No wise. You can put whatever, people can say whatever they want to, but I'm going to say what Jesus said. Jesus said, he that cometh to me. They say, well, that was to a different group of people. That was a different dispensation. Well, I'll tell you what he said. He that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast him out. Amen? Don't care what he's done. Don't care where he's been. Don't care who. He said, well, what if he's a murderer? I'll in no wise cast him out. You say, what if he's been stooped in real wicked, perverted sin? He said, I'll in no wise cast him out. I'm telling you, God will take the vilest. He'll take the filthiest. He'll take the worst of the worst. He'll take them from the very bottom of the pit itself, and he'll pull them out of the clutches of death. He'll steal them out of the devil's hand. He'll save them by his grace. He'll wash them in his blood. He'll change their life and make them a trophy of the grace of God, because salvation is not for some. It is for all. Hallelujah.
God will save the prisoner this morning. God will save the prostitute this morning. God will save the little church boy, the little church girl. The proof is in the Savior this morning. And then there's the person in this verse. Notice the Bible says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever. Well, Calvinists are going to have a hard time explaining that. They'll say there's a general call. That's to everybody. But they're not, some of those that get that general call, they're not going to hear it and they're not going to come. And so then there's the elect. The only problem is the Bible didn't teach that anywheres. In fact, every time you read about election, predestination, foreknowledge, adoption, it's never talking about the sinner. It's always talking about the saint. Paul used all them words in Ephesians chapter number 1 and all them. But Paul is talking to who? Saved people. He's talking to the church. Well, what is that? That's the benefits. That's the things that accompany salvation that you find out about after you got saved. Man, the day I got saved, I didn't know what propitiation or justification or adoption, election. If you'd have come running to me with all that, I'm telling you, I'd have been like a termite in a yo-yo. I would have never figured out how to got saved. Only thing I knew was I deserved to go to hell. I knew I couldn't save myself. Somebody pointed me to an old rugged cross and said, that man lived a holy life. He's not just a man in the flesh, but he's God in the flesh. He died for your sins. He's the only one that could have died for your sins. And he loved you enough to save you. Amen. I tell you the best way I knew how. I couldn't explain all that, but I came by way of the cross. I came by the shed blood of Calvary. I put my faith and trust in him. And by the grace of God, I know I'm saved this morning, not because of what I said or did, but because of what he said and what he did at Calvary this morning. All them other things, thank God, they accompany salvation. The person in this verse, what does the word, I know this is very simple, but I want to preach it on purpose. What does the word whosoever, what does that mean? You'll be surprised, the people, when you witness to them and ask them, what does the word whosoever mean? They don't know. Might be a little boy, a little girl sitting here today, and you don't know what the word whosoever means. It's real simple. What does that mean? That means anyone. It means everyone. Everyone. It means anyone. It means salvation for all this morning. No one excluded. I know that's simple, but it'll bless your heart. No matter the size, you can be saved.
No matter the sin, you can be saved. No matter the shame. You say, preacher, if you knew what I did, you might question whether or not God would save me. I want to tell you, he already knew what you'd do before you ever did it. But he went to Calvary anyway. He died for you, and he died as you, so that you could be saved. You say, does God love me that much? Oh, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There it is, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God doesn't want to leave anyone out. He wants to bring everyone in. He don't want to push anybody to the side. He wants to pick everybody up. He'll pick up the rottenness of the rotten. I'm telling you, listen, others may not forgive you. Others may not forgive. But the God of heaven, he gave his Son, and the Son shed every drop of blood so that you could be saved from your sin this morning. All sin is shameful in the eyes of a holy God. And this morning, the littlest sin makes you as much of a sinner as the greatest sin. You say, I never murdered anybody. I never stole anything. No, but I tell you, you were born into sin. David said in Psalms 55, in sin did my mother conceive me. You see, people don't go to hell because of what they do anyway. They go to hell because of what they are. You cannot change the fact that you were born with Adam's blood in your veins. That makes you a sinner. Romans 5 and verse 8. I love that verse. But God commendeth his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I wasn't even born yet. But that verse says, and while we were yet sinners. How was I a sinner when I wasn't even born? I'll tell you how. Because when Jesus died at Calvary, he looked as far back in the Old Testament as you could look, to the first sinner Adam that ever sinned. And he looked as far down through the annals of time at the very last sinner that would ever be born, that, my friend, had not come in. And that's where you and I come in. And God saw every man, woman, boy, and girl a sinner. And so God gives an invitation. And the invitation is not just to the Old Testament. And the invitation is not just to the New Testament. But it is to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, I want to tell you, the person in this verse is me. And the person in this verse is you. This verse needs to be personal. Because that word whosoever is where God included all of us. And I want to say the person of this verse proves that God will give salvation to all. The proof in this verse, the person in this verse. Then there's the prayer in this verse. Notice the Bible says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever, notice this, shall call. That's prayer, isn't it? Shall call. This morning prayer, you know what it is? It is a call this morning. Prayer this morning is coming to God. You say, Brother Gravely, I want to be saved. Then you're going to have to come to God. Jesus, I quoted that verse earlier, he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast him out. He will not save you against your will. God is not going to storm the door of your heart, arrest your soul, and save you. He's not going to save you against your will this morning. You have a choice you must make. And in that choice, if you want to be saved, you must come to God. If you sit in that pew, you will die and go to hell. You must come to God. Why do I have to go to the altar? It's coming to God. You're not coming down here to me. You're not coming down here in front of other people. I want to say this morning, you've heard the gospel. You're hearing the message of salvation this morning. The Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart right now. You say, I want to be saved. Then come, amen. He that is athirst, let him come. The Spirit and the bride say, come, amen. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You want rest for your soul this morning? Then you got to come. What is prayer? It's coming to God. Why do some people say, I believe God saved me? Now, some people have a trouble with this, but I do not, and I don't think you do. But I've heard people testify and say, I was sitting in church, the preacher was preaching, I got under conviction and I knew I was lost and I needed to be saved. And I got out of my seat and I started down to the altar to ask the Lord to save me, and I went to the altar and I prayed, but preacher, I'm going to be honest with you. I believe the Lord saved me before I ever got to the altar. You say, well, now, Brother Gradley, they didn't
pray out loud. They didn't know, but I tell you what they did. They came. So what about that little seven-year-old boy, that little girl that comes down to the altar and asks Jesus to save them? You think the Lord saved them? Well, they came. You know what prayer is? It's coming to God. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. When you take that first step and say, I'm going, amen, I'm going to tell you, he's going to meet you, amen. He's not going to leave you there. He's going to come. If you'll come, he'll do the safe. All you got to do is come this morning. More people have went to hell because they would not come. Prayer is coming to God. Prayer is crying out to God, amen. Prayer is communication with God. You see, this morning you may not pray like somebody else prays. You may not say the words that somebody else says, but you came to God, and the best way you knew how, if you ask him to save you, he'll save you this morning. Amen. You know, those grandkids will come up and ask me for something, and one of them will ask it, like one of them, they love apples, and one of them will say, Papa, you got apples in there? I do. And I'll just wait. How many apples you got? Oh, I don't know. I got some. You say, what are you doing? I'm just waiting. I know what they want. And then I got one. Papa, I want an apple. Ain't no questions asked. I got another one. Papa, give me an apple. I said, no, you ask. It's not give me. Give me an apple. No, we're going to go through this seven times until you ask. But I want one. Yeah, I know. But you're going to say, not give me, ask. They all have a different way of communicating. But at the end of the day, I know what every one of them wants. I understand. They communicate differently. But they all want an apple. You see, when one person comes to the altar, they may talk to God in one way and another one may talk in another. But what you come for? When people come to the altar, I don't say, do you want to be saved? I never say that to them. I say, why did you come? Because they need to acknowledge before God, not me, why they're coming to the altar. I have seen people, oh, this is so heartbreaking. I've seen people that I knew sat in church and God was dealing with their heart. I knew there's inner conviction. And they come down to the altar and I think, man, God's going to save that person. Here's what I've seen them do. Brother Danny, they come all the way down here. And I say, ma'am, sir, why did you come? And for whatever reason, they won't bring themselves to say, I just come down here to pray. I'm telling you, you're going to have to come clean with God. Well, I come down here to pray for so-and-so. Is that why you came? That person has to come to the place where they're willing to call on Jesus and ask him for what they need. And if you'll do that, he'll save you. I think that's why children get saved. Because they're so innocent. I know they have to have an understanding. I wouldn't want to pull a child green. You know, sometimes you talk with them, you just know they're not ready. Isn't that right? But I'll tell you something about them. When they come and they understand the message of salvation and they know what the need is, you ask a child while they come, they don't even hit, I want to be saved. And Jesus said, if you want to go to heaven, you have to come like a little child. You just come so innocent. You just come so honest. I want to be saved. Do you think this morning, if anybody walked this aisle and said, I wanted to be saved, do you think God would save them? Amen. I know he would. He said, how do you know that? And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. I want to say this morning, the prayer, you know what's keeping you from getting saved? Prayer. You'll come to God and call on him this morning, he'll save your soul. And then there's the power in this verse. Notice the Bible says, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. There's power in that name this morning. You're not calling on me. You're not calling on the church. Hey, you're not calling on Mary. You want to get saved, there's one name. Acts 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other name. That's talking about the name of Jesus. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is a must. And I want to tell you this morning, the power is not in a preacher's name. It's not in a church's name. It's not in the name of religion this morning. But there's power in the name of Jesus. Philippians 2 and verse 9 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hey friend, if you want to get in, you have to get in the name of Jesus. You have to call on him to save you. Amen. You have to ask him to be your Savior this morning. A lot of times politicians, when they close out a speech or something of that nature, they'll use the name God. And while I'm thankful to hear the name God in society anytime, Philippians or Psalms 2 said, kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you. You know, Psalms 2 is talking to the politicians, if you go home and read it, of this world. And it's talking about the millennial time in the last days when the kings and the captains of this world are going to go against the Son of God in his holy hill of Zion. But God gives them a warning. You see, the Father's committed all judgment to the Son. It is the judgment seat of Christ. The one that is sitting on the throne in Revelation 20 that's going to judge sinners is going to be Christ. Amen. It's going to be him. And listen, my politicians may say, God bless America. They'll kiss the Father. But I'll tell you what they have a hard time saying sometimes is identifying with Jesus Christ, amen? Because the world doesn't get upset when you say the name God, because it could mean any God. It could mean Mohammed. It could mean anything in this world. But when you say Jesus Christ, you have identified yourself with Christianity. You have made a mark. And the Bible said you better not kiss the Father. You better kiss the Son, because he's the one that you're going to give an account to. I want to tell you, friend, the one that died for you and the one that'll save you is also the one that'll judge you on judgment day. And so you better get in the family of God. It's his name that'll get you into heaven. Amen. I like what the songwriter said, in my hand no price I bring, but simply to the cross I cling. This is his power. It's heavenly power. It's holy power. I want to say finally this morning, there's the promise in this verse that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, look at this, shall be saved. I want to ask you a personal question. Are you saved this morning? Are you saved? I didn't ask you if you go to church faithfully. Are you saved? That's a very personal question this morning. There's a promise in this verse that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a promise spoken. It's a promise seen in this Bible. I wonder today, if Jesus was to come right now, are you saved? Are you saved? Do you know that you're saved? I wouldn't question your salvation. But you'd be surprised, people, they attend a church service week in and week out just so they feel like they're okay. I wonder this morning, is this personal to you? Man, this is personal, isn't it, if you're saved? I don't go to church. I don't go to church to see people. I like to see people, you know, and you like to see people. But we didn't get dressed up and come here to see each other. Well, I could go to your house or you could come to mine. I didn't wear a suit this morning to be seen. I think a preacher ought to wear a suit and a tie. I think he ought to look like a preacher. Can I tell you something? I hate these things. I hate them. But that's what we got to wear, isn't it? But this morning I didn't come to see what somebody, you didn't come to see what he's wearing. If you're saved, everything we've done this morning, the singing, putting money in an offering plate, that's personal this morning, if you're saved. If you're not saved, this is just a form of religion. I wonder this morning, as they come and get us a song ready, I wonder this morning how many people in this room right now, you know you're not saved. You say, Brother Gravely, I'm not saved. If I died right now, I would not go to heaven. Then I want you to listen to me. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you want to be saved this morning? God will save you. Just that simple. As we stand, our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, Christians.